Good morning. Today's Av Mamzia is Peches and Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf as long as Zechanish Maslimba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are on, we are on Pezayin Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, and we are going to be starting. We will start with El Amar Rav Yitzchak. We did that a little bit yesterday, but that's where we're going to be starting from. The Mishnah yesterday took us back to the Gemara. Took us back to the standard Gemara. We have been doing a Gadatah since the beginning of the Perek. Beginning of the Perek started on Pei Gimel, and since that point in time, the Gemara launched into a lot of a Gadatah. And then the Mishnah yesterday, in the middle of Pei Zayin, on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, so brought us back to Halacha. We were talking about the Halacha of the Torah that a worker who works in the field is allowed to eat. The food that he's working with in the field, that is what the Torah says. Torah gives a couple of examples of this. Torah talks about a kerem, Torah talks about a kama. And in both these circumstances, the Torah provides an allowance for a worker to work in the field. It is similar to lo sachsam shor bedisho, that when you have an animal working in the threshing floor, so you're not allowed to muzzle the animal. You have to allow the animal to eat. So obviously animals and humans are different. Okay, that was good, but still, the basic idea is the same. That when you have somebody working around food, so it's not right. It's just not respectful. It's not basic rachmanus to have me eat a worker around food, but in the meantime, not allowed to eat any of the food. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah to allow him to eat. There's an issur in the Torah. We're going to talk later at the end of today, beginning of tomorrow. We're going to talk about the issur of perhaps even you're not allowed to muzzle the person. We'll talk that'll come up at the end of today's daf, beginning of tomorrow's daf. I know it's good. Okay, the psukim as we went through yesterday are pretty clear. It is the end of Perchav Gimel Parsha Kiseitze Kisava Bekerem Reecha. When he comes into the vineyard, Ve'achalta Navim Kenaf Shecha, so he eats grapes as he is want to, sav echa, until he's full. However, he can't put it into his bags. So in other words, there's no doggy bags. Yeah, gotta eat in the field, but that's it. In other words, nothing, you can't take anything home. And then, kisava becomes reecha, and then next pasuk, and when you go into the field, meaning the wheat field of your friend, or wheat, or as we'll discuss at the very beginning of this morning, whatever stands in the field, v'katafta melilos biyadecha, so you could take some of the kernels with your hands. However, the Torah says, v'chamesh lo sanif, you're not allowed to take the sickle and cut it down with the sickle, al-kamasrecha on that of your friend. Okay, so those are two psukim in the Torah that speak to this idea that you're allowed to eat in the field. With that stated, that was the Torah Shebichsav, and yesterday we started the Torah Shebapeh. So the Mishnah basically told us that there's a window of opportunity in which a worker is allowed to eat the food in the field. So the Mishnah basically gives us three guidelines. One, guidelines, more than guidelines. They're the halachas. One is that it has to be mechubel karka. It has to be something connected to the ground. So, for example, if let's say the worker is milking an animal, that the worker does not have an allowance to eat because the milk that comes from the animal is not mechubel min karka. It didn't come from the ground. The animal obviously gets the sustenance from the ground, but that's not enough. It has to be mechubel karka. It has to be something growing directly from the ground. Two, says the Gemara, it has to be at the last stage of processing. So that means to say that it has to be where we're doing talisha, where we're picking the fruit off the tree. We're picking the grape off the vineyard. It has to be at that stage. In other words, if you're at an earlier stage, so then the worker can't help himself to the food. The worker has to be doing the work specifically at the final stages of picking it off the ground. And finally, the Mishnah says it has to be before the chiyuv trumas ha-maisos. Meaning, once the fruit, the wheat is subject to trumas ha-maisos, so then the worker can't eat it. But for a very simple reason, because it's tevel. Because at this point in time now, nobody can eat it. So in other words, so with that window of opportunity, those halachas, so the Mishnah told us. Once he detaches it, then he can eat it. But once now it's chayv and trumas ha-maisos, which we're going to be discussing over the course of today, so then he's no longer allowed to eat it. Okay, with all that stated, that's what we did. And yesterday the Gemara darshaned all this from Pesukim. Okay, so and the Gemara, the first thing we try to establish yesterday throughout the Pesukim is what does this apply to? Meaning the Torah gives us two examples. Torah says Kerem, and the Torah says Kama. So those are the two examples of the Torah. So does it apply to any other grains? So the Gemara tried to explain through drushes yesterday that yes, it applies to other grains, but how do we know that? How do we know it applies to other grains? We try to learn out through a Mematzinu, through the Binyan Av, through the precedent that's set by these two. Look at the common denominator of these two and let them establish the precedent. But the Gemara said it's not going to work because Ma Bitzada Shavu Shabahem, what is the nature of these two? Is that they go on the Mizbeach. Right? Wheat goes on the Mizbeach in the form of a Mincha, and grapes, wine go on the Mizbeach in the form of Nesachim. So the truth of the matter is that I can only, using a Mematzinu, include those things that go on the top of the Mizbeach. That would allow me to include also olives. But that's it. In other words, there's nothing else. So how do I know that this halacha that allows a worker to eat produce from the field, how do I know that it applies to all different types of produce that grows in the field? Elam Rav Yitzchak, I did this yesterday, but this is where we'll start. Elam Rav Yitzchak, Amakra, Kama L'Rabbah, it's called Bale Kama. So the Torah uses the word Kama. Kama means anything that grows on the ground. The Gemara says, Va'amar Kama Kama D'mechad V'bechala. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't we have a Gzeres Shava at the end of yesterday's daf that told us that Kama only applies to those things which are subject to Chala? Hafreshes Chala, the mitzvah of Hafreshes Chala only applies to the five grains. Nothing else, no legumes, nothing. Not rice, only to the five grains. So maybe now the halacha of allowing the worker to eat only applies to the five grains. So hanimi lemikamad denesi chermesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that was before the Torah talked about chermesh. Chermesh cutting with the sickle. Hashadasi chermesh, it's rabbi called davar. So the Gemara, called davar chermesh, v'afagav delamachav v'chala. So the pasuk, the word in the Torah of chermesh tells me that even if I cut, as long as I cut it down with the sickle, so then it's subject to a worker's allowance to eat it. So the Gemara says, kamalamali. So the Gemara says, so then, what does the Torah then teach me with the word kama? Rabbis called bale kama. So the Gemara says it comes to tell me that anything that stands, anything that grows from the ground and stands, is allowed to be eaten by the worker. So the Gemara says, so now it is the combination punch of chermesh and kama that tells me that the worker can eat any produce that grows in the field. So the Gemara says, so now why does the Torah specify a vineyard? Because ultimately it comes down to anything that grows in the field, a worker is allowed to eat from when he's working in the field. So now, why does the Torah specifically point out Kerem? So Gemara says, Amarav lehil chosav. So Gemara says, it's the pasuk in Kerem is going to teach me a number of halachas. So I counted them. So I got to the number 7, although the truth of the matter is there's a 2A and there's a 2B. So, okay. There are a lot of halachas learned out from this pasuk vis-a-vis the worker, and the Gemara is now going to go through all the various halachas that I learned. So, kid to tanya, the Gemara now quotes the following braisa, and this is all the halachas as it relates to the worker in the field. One, kisavu ne'amar kan bi'av ne'amar lahalan lo savu alav hashemesh. Ma lahalan bepo la'akasa medaber, afkan bepo la'akasa medaber. First of all, we're contextualizing what kind of work are we talking about. So, the Torah by Kerem doesn't tell us. The Torah just simply says, kisavu. He's going into the field. So, what is he? Is he a day worker? Is he a sharecropper? What is he? So, the Gemara says that we're learning, that we'll learn out through the following. We'll call it Gzeres Shava. It says later on, Lo Savo Alav Hashemesh. Right? In other words, when you have a worker who's working by the day, so don't let the sun set and you not pay him. You have to pay him at the end of the day when he finishes working. So that's talking about a poel. It's talking about a day worker. So the Gemara says, so that's how I know over here that we're talking about a poel as well. So that's halacha number one. That this halacha refers specifically to a poel. Two, bekerem re'echa v'lo bekerem kusi. And the Torah says bekerem re'echa, which means that this allowance is for kerem re'echa. However, now it does not apply to kerem kusi. Now what doesn't apply to kerem kusi? Rashi says, kerem re'echa ve'el keyecha lo sitein. Over here, what we're describing now is your limitation as in terms of what you can eat. Rashi says that we know that when you are working in a Jewish field, so the Torah says you can't take home a doggy bag. You can only eat in the field what you can eat in the field. You can't take anything home. Says Rashi in explanation of our Gemara, that our Gemara is when saying that it doesn't refer to a Kerem Kusi, means that when you're working the Kerem Kusi, you can take home from the vineyard. So the Gemara says, now, you can't take home from the vineyard. Normally, what would we call that? Stealing. We call that stealing. Meaning, that's taking, you know, it's going to work and taking home a couple of extra pencils, you know, a stapler, you know, that you're not entitled to it. And so the Gemara now saying that when you're working in the non-Jewish field, so you can't take home with you. That's pretty obvious. And the Gemara says, Hanich laman demar gezel kusi aser, hainu ditzur krala mishrei poel. So the Gemara says, fine. So normally it's called stealing, but under these circumstances, the Torah is matir. The Gemara says, if you normally subscribe to the idea that gezel kusi is aser, so then I understand that the Torah gives you a special allowance over here. Alaman demar gezel kusi mutar. However, there is an opinion in the Gemara Baba Kama. Not an opinion that we hold like, la halacha, but there is an opinion towards the end of Gemara Baba Kama that gezel kusi is mutar. If that's true, then I don't need a drasha. Then I know that when I'm working in the field of a kerem kusi, I can take home with me, according to this opinion. So hashik gzela mutar pol mi baye. So if gzela flat out is mutar, so then the poel for sure. You don't need special drasha. So mibaye. So mukim la bekerem reyecha. So this is my 2A and 2B, meaning that the Gemara now is just giving us another halacha. If you subscribe to the idea that gezel akum is mutter, so that's why in my numbering I call this now 2B. So bekerem reyecha. So the Gemara says velo shel hekdesh. So the other halacha that we can learn out from this pasuk is that you can't that if you're working in the in a field that belongs to Hekdesh, so you can't eat. Now here we're not talking about taking home in a doggy bag. What we're saying over here is that you can't eat any of the grapes whatsoever in the field. Now, because it belongs to Hekdesh. Now, over here, we can ask the question in the other direction. If the field belongs to Hekdesh, of course you can't eat any of the grapes in that field. Something belonging to Hekdesh is not yours. Misappropriation of anything that belongs to Hekdesh is the Isser of Me'ila. So why would we need a drasha to tell me that you can't eat the grapes if you're working in the field that belongs to Hekdesh? Of course you can't do that. So Tosos over here points out, second to last Tosos, the beginning of the Tosos, Salka Dadcha Ki Hechi Dishar Rechmana. So the thinking would go like this. You know, under normal circumstances, I can't go into somebody else's field and eat their food. That's not right. And yet the Torah allows the worker to do so. So you see already that this is a special dispensation. So once we're discussing a special dispensation, so I might have thought that if I'm working in the field of Hekdesh, So under normal circumstances, I'm not allowed to misappropriate. But now the Torah allows me to do so. That's the Havamina. So that's what the Joshua has to dispel. Okay, so where are we at right now? So far we have gone over two halachas from the pasuk. Halacha number one is that we're talking about a poel. Halacha number two is that you can't take home a doggy bag, but that's only bekerem reyecha. But bekerem kusi, you're allowed to take home a doggy bag, and then the Gemara just simply gave another drasha for that, a 2B, if you don't subscribe to gezel akum being aser. Number three, ve'achalta v'lo motzeitz. You have to eat the grape. Here's what you can't do. You can't squeeze the juice of the grape into your mouth. Now, there's no explanation in terms of why, meaning, but I would suggest, and again, this is me talking now, so, but I would suggest probably that has to do with the fact that if you squeeze out the juice of the grape, so then you'd be able to go through a lot of grapes. These are, in other words, it's not your field, they're not really yours, the Torah just gives you an allowance to eat it. But the Torah gives you an allowance to eat it, not basically pick at it, but you have to eat the entire thing. It'll minimize the amount you eat. That's my suggestion in terms of why. Anavim, a fourth halacha, v'lo anavim v'davar acher. You can only eat the grapes, but you cannot put condiments on the grape. You can't put salt on the grape. And again, over here, it's the same basic idea. And here Rashi says it. I don't have to speculate. Rashi says, anavim v'davar acher, litvol anavim b'melach, l'misakein shiyoch l'harbe. Right? In other words, what happens after you eat salty? So then you want to hydrate. So if you salt your grapes, you're going to then want to eat a lot. The Torah doesn't want you to do that. The Torah only wants you to pick as needed. So therefore, you're not allowed to put any kind of condiment on the grape. Number five, kenef shecha. The fifth halacha we're learning now. Kenef shel balabai is kach nafsho shapoa. So you are going to be this given the same right as the owner in the following sense. Man of shecha ochel upater, afne shel poel ochel upater. So just like the owner can eat it and he's going to be exempt, so too you can eat it and you're also going to be exempt as well. What is this making a reference to? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes as follows. Manav shecha ochel patam and amaiser, Rashi writes, Dahalo nigmara malacha lamaiser dagan yain mishir labor. So we're not at the point of gemar malacha. This is what we learned back in the Mishnah, that you can eat it up to gemar malacha, up until the finishing process. Just like the owner can snack on it before the gemar malacha, you can as well. So af poel al ochel upater. Next Rashi. So v'lo amrin and hold the agre achil, because here's the argument you can make. You can make the following argument: how is a pole eating it? It's part of it, part of his earnings. Now, when I say part of his earnings, it's not like it's going to get deducted from his paycheck. But still, in other words, his right and entitlement to eat is based on the fact that he is working in the field. It's a fringe benefit of being able to work in the field, is that you get to eat some of the grapes. And, continues Rashi, hold the ba'agre achel, akocho shabal abayis, and you can do it, and you don't have to ask permission from the ba'al abayis. The Torah gives you the right to eat it. Hava lei kemekach. So therefore, I might have judged this like a case of mekach, that this is purchased food. Right, and the idea is that you're getting it for the reward of working in that field. So, and if it's mekach, then what? Next part of Rashi, umekach kova'as lemaiser. As we will learn later on, when you have something which is bought, which is purchased, that's a koveya that establishes something for meiser. Now, these halachas we're going to be discussing at different points during this morning, and that is the idea of kviyas, of establishing something where, under normal circumstances, you're allowed to eat the food before having taken off trumas ha'maisos, because we're not at the point of gemar malacha. But once you're koveya, once you do something significant, so then midrabanan is chayv and trumas ha'maisos. Buying something is a significant act, and therefore it's going to be chayv and trumas ha'maisos. What's another example of something being koveya? Shabbos. Shabbos, there are six in total. Six examples of being koveya. Shabbos is a good example. Right? You're in the field, you're snacking on food, and it's Shabbos. Since on Shabbos, every eating you do is significant eating on Shabbos, so it's part of the mitzvah of onik Shabbos. So therefore, all eating is considered a kviyas, an establishment. Therefore, even on Shabbos, when you're picking, well, you can't pick the fruit off the tree, but in other words, if you have fruit lying around which is not yet been brought into the house and not yet chayv chumas maisos, you're not allowed to snack on it because snacking on Shabbos is a kviyas. Purchasing is a kviyas. So therefore, I might have thought that the worker is not allowed to eat the fruit because we'll judge it like a mekach, and that would be a koveya. So after avishal nigmar malachto kim desavne achshave. So here the processing has not yet been done yet, but since it was like a purchased item, so therefore I might have thought that the worker is not allowed to eat it. Kamash Milan, that's the halacha that we're learning now, is that the worker is allowed to eat it, even though you could have judged this like a case of a purchase. Okay, and finally, two more to go. Six, Savech Velo Achila Gasa. You can eat, but you can't stuff yourself. In other words, eat till you're satiated, but that's it. Don't go beyond that point in time. And finally, number seven, Ve'al Keyecha Lo Siten, V'shash Atanose Lekal Yavshu Balabais, Ata Ocha, V'shash Iyat Anose Lekal Yavshu Balabais, Iyat Ocha, only when you're putting it into the basket of the Balabais, meaning like we learned back in the Mishnah. You're only allowed to eat at the point of Tlisha. If you're at an earlier stage of working in the field, you're hoeing the ground, right, that you're not allowed to take the fruit. It's only when you're at the point of being tolish. Okay, so that is, in my counting, seven halachas that we learned now from the Pasuk of Kerem. So because, and why do we just do that? We just went through that exercise because we don't need the Pasuk to tell me that it applies to all fruit in the field. I know that already from the combination of Kama and Chermesh. So what do I do with the Pasuk of Kerem? So I learn out seven halachas like we just did.
How okay. Can you do it when you're tolish? When it says you're not allowed to eat till you're done working.
No, even what do you mean? In other words,
before, are we not allowed to eat? He's not allowed to eat while he's working.
Right. No. Oh, in other words, taking off time.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
He's going to do it at the end of the work.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay.
Part of
right, it's part of my coffee break. Okay, fine, it's fair. Okay. Amar Rav Yanai Eina Tevel Mischayv and Meiser Ashira Pnei Abayis. Okay, here we are on the bottom of Pesayim and Beis, and the Gemara is going to introduce us to a basic machlokas. We've seen this machlokas already a couple of times in Shas, right? So you can look on the side. We saw in Brachos, we saw back in Gittin, and that is, at what point in time now is produce after being taken from the field, at what point in time now is it chayv and chumas and maestros? Rabbi Yanai says, at the point where it goes into the house. It goes into the house. And not just going into the house, but as Rashi points out, Rashi on the top of Peches Amad Aleph, Shikanes Derech HaPesach. It's got to go through the front door. Shupenei HaBayis. So it has to go see the face of the house. Velo Derech Gagos VeKarfifos. Bringing it through the back door is not going to, in this case, I'll say it literally, it won't be the threshold of being obligated in Trumas HaMaisos. Pun intended. So, Achir Epinei HaBayis. Shenemar Biyata Koshman HaBayis. And how do I know that? Because look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, I destroyed the Koshman HaBayis. Meaning, that's the Pasuk in reference to Maisos Sheni. And presumably, it applies to all Trumas HaMaisos. That the only time that it's Chayv Min HaTorah in Trumas HaMaisos is when it goes into the house. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and on this, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Yanai, and he goes even a step earlier. Afilu Chatzir Kovas. Even when it goes into the field, that's going to be kovea as well. Sorry, I said field. I misspoke. I feel chatzir. Even the courtyard is going to be kovea. Shenemar va'achlu b'sharecha v'saveu. It goes into your sha'ar, into your gate, and you will be satiated. So basically, what we have is a machlok is a marayim, but really it's a stira in the psukim. Meaning we have a pasuk supporting the idea that only when it goes into your house, it's chayiv and shumas and maitzos. And we have another pasuk that says b'sharecha when it goes into your courtyard. So, it's a machlok, it's a marayim, but really steer up psukim. And the Gemara now is going to explain what each amar is going to do with the other pasuk. Rav Yochanan, Nami Aksiv Ben Abayis, what's Rav Yochanan going to do with the pasuk of Bayis? Amalacha, Chatzir, Domid Abayis, Ma Bayis, Hamishtamer, Av Chatzir, Hamishtameris. Well, the house is just telling you that it has to be the kind of house which is protective. And that means that, and I'm just going to simply apply that idea to the courtyard as well. It can't be just a courtyard where it's the front of my house. It has to be mishtamer. There has to be a fence around. There has to be a protected area. Now, Rav Yana Nami Aksiv B'Sharecha, what is Rav Yana going to do with the Pasuk of B'Sharecha? Ha'umi Ba'ale Dema'ayolei Derech Sha'ar. La'fuki Derech Kagos V'Kafifa Zolo. This is the Rashi that we saw earlier, but Rashi obviously got it from our Gemara. The idea is that when it goes into your house, it has to go Derech Sha'ar, meaning it has to go through the front. The courtyard's in the front. So it has to go through the courtyard, through the front of your house. If it goes to the backyard, and it goes through the back door, it's not going to be Koveh HaMinotorah in Trumas HaMaisos. Okay, so, Machlokes Amorayim, when exactly the fruit is going to be chayiv in Trumas HaMaisos min HaTorah? Either A, when it goes into your house, or that Shitas Rabbi Yanai, or B, when it goes into your front courtyard, that Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Meis Rav Chanina Chuzai. So let's go back to a pasuk that we just saw together, the drasha that we just saw together, and that is Kinaf Shecha. The Torah allows the worker to work and to eat in the field, just like the owner could. Kach nafsho shapoel ma nafsho ochel upator, af nafsho shapoel ochel upator. Just like the owner can go and eat the produce in the field, so too the worker can do the same as well, and pater, and not obligated in Trumas HaMaisos. So halokei achayev, which would mean then that had it been a lakicha, had it been a purchase, he would have been chayiv. Meaning, remember, that's the rashi that we did earlier this morning. I might have thought that we should treat the poel like a lokeach, like somebody who purchased it. And it certainly seems to indicate that even if a purchase was made, you're still going to be chayiv. So my la besada, so presumably we're talking about where it's done out in the field. So in other words, if you put these two pieces of information together, the implication that we get from this is that if there's a lakicha, if there's a sale, basadeh out in the field, well before we got to the point of the chatzir, and certainly before the point we get to the house. So if there's a lakicha out in the field, so you'd be chayv in Trumas HaMaisos, it'd be a koveya. So Amar Papa, Chabetein, Amaris Beginave, Nofa Notel Chatzir Askinan. So our Papa says, well, maybe over here we're talking about an extraordinarily specific circumstance, and that is the following. The Teina, the fig itself, is Begina. It's out in the garden. However, Nofa, but the branch is Notel Chatzir. The branch is actually circumventing, it's going in a circuitous route, and it's actually going over the courtyard. Now, the Gemara over here says courtyard, which would make Rav Yochanan happy, and I guess according to Rav Yana, you would say it's going into the house. Or either way. But the Gemara is just simply pointing out that the tree and the fruit are literally all over the place. Branches in the house, and the fruit is out in the field. Now, ulamai damar, I'm sorry, ulamai damar labai sabais. I'm sorry, the Gemara says it. Okay. I speculate, I didn't need to speculate. The Gemara actually says it. And according to Rav Yanai, the branch is in the house. Okay, now, e hachi, So where are we right now? So we're at the point where the tree is branch in the courtyard of house, whichever shita you're holding like, and the fruit is actually out in the field. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, now I need the special drasha. So the Gemara says, Yachi Baal Bais Nami Nechayv. The Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Under those circumstances, the Baal Bais should be chayv as well, because you do have the branch actually in the house or in the courtyard. So the Gemara says, Baal Bais, the Gemara says, it depends. Baal Bais Einav B'Teina Som. V'lokeach Einav B'Mekchal. So as far as the Baal Bais is concerned, so he's interested in the Teina. Where's the Teina actually? Teina is actually still out in the field. So from the Baal Bais perspective, it's not Chayv B'Trumas HaMaisros. Yes, the branch is in the house or in the courtyard, but the fig itself is still out in the field. So from his perspective, it's not Chayv B'Trumas HaMaisros. And we're not at the point of Gemar Malacha. However, But when it comes to the lokeach, in this case the worker, einav b'mekcho, he's looking at the mekach, and the mekach over here, is in the courtyard, in the house, meaning the branch of the fig, and so therefore, from his perspective, it's going to be chayv b'trumas HaMaisros. So the Gemara says, now, all this brought us to the following point, which is, it sounds like what we're saying is that when you're lokeach, when you buy produce, so that's a koveya, like we discussed earlier this morning, one of the six koveyas, and therefore it's going to be chayv b'trumas HaMaisros. Is that a din Torah, or is that a din derabanan? So as we'll keep saying over and over again throughout the sugya, so these koveyas are a din derabanan, not a din Torah. So the Gemara says, v'lokech medaraisa me'mechayv atanya. The Gemara now is going to point out that this idea that when you buy produce and now it's chayv and shumas ha'maisros, that's not a din Torah, that's a din derabanan. The Gemara says, first of all, let's establish that that's correct. That's a fact. The Gemara now is quoting the following braisa. The markets of Beis Hino, name of a place, was destroyed 3 years before Yerushalayim was destroyed. And the Gemara understands this, that this was Midas Adin. This was in retribution for the way they behaved. And how did they behave? Shemidu divrei mal divrei Torah. What they did is they basically said, you know what? These gzeres de Rabbanan, thank you, but no thank you. And they just dismissed the Gzeres de Rabbanan. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was an Onesh, so he destroyed them, their cities, and their markets 3 years before Chorban Beis HaMikdash. For example, Shayu Omrim, the Gemara on the top now of Peches Amud Beis, Aser Taser Ve'achalta, Velo Mocher Tvua Zarecha, Velo Lokeach. So the Gemara says that when the Torah describes how you're going to be taking off Trumas and Maisos, the Torah talks about in terms of possessive. The Torah says, Aser Taser Ve'achalta. You will take off when you eat. That means that only when you're eating your produce is there a chiv and Trumas and Maisos. If you sell or if you buy min haTorah, you're not going to be chiv and Trumas and Maisos. Okay. There is much discussion about this patur, this exemption of produce that's sold or purchased, which is really the same thing. In other words, just from buyer or seller's perspective. But in other words, if the original owner of the produce is not the one eating it, but it's rather sold, it's going to be exempt from Trumas HaMaisros. So if you want basic information on this, you turn back and you look at the bottom Tosos on the Amud. Right? Tvua Zarecha V'lo Lokeach. The Machlokes Rishonim, exactly the parameters of this patur. Okay, so not for now, right? But it's yedius. It's basic information in terms of how does this patur work out. But basically, now let's say it out. In other words, now we're learning that min haTorah, when you sell produce, that produce is not chayv b'trumas HaMaisros min haTorah. So the Gemara says, so now let's go back to our worker. Remember, what we've been saying since pretty much the beginning of today is that I might have treated the worker differently because I might have treated him like a lokeach, like he's a buyer. He's a buyer because he's getting the fruit in exchange for the work that he's working. So as part of the exchange. But in other words, but he's a lokeach. And so therefore, the Gemara said earlier, I might have thought that therefore he should be subject to taking off Trumas HaMaisros. Now the Gemara is pointing out, that's not a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'rabanan. And it is what It's what Beit Sinos wanted to. They wanted to go back to the din d'oraisa and ignore the din d'rabbanan. But the idea that when you're a lokeach, you're chayv and shumas ha'maisos, that's strictly a din d'rabbanan, not a din Torah. So if that's true, so what did we do in the beginning of this morning? We're darshaning psukim. When you darshan a pasuk, that means it's a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan. So the Gemara concedes. Ela midrabbanan v'kra asmachta ba'alma. So the Gemara says, you're right. Really, the truth of the matter is that there would never existed such a havamina, that the worker should be considered like a lokeach, and therefore he's subject to trumas ha'maisos. That's a din d'rabbanan, it's not a din d'oraisa. The fact that we connected it to the pasuk asmachta, meaning like we see time and again throughout the Gemara, the chachamim like to attach their dinei d'rabbanan to a pasuk, linking it to a pasuk, but doesn't mean that the nature of the halach is mena Torah. It just simply means that they're connecting it. They're connecting to a pasuk. It's the idea of a smachta. So now that we're here, so what we need to do is basically go back to the drawing board at the beginning of this morning, right? We're not erasing the entire board. In other words, we're only erasing one line, which is, remember, we had seven halachas that we derived from the pasuk of Kerah in the beginning of this morning. One of the halachas was that when it comes to a worker, so I might have thought that he's a lokeach, and he may be chayv v'shumas ha'maisos min ha'Torah, kamash malan, he's not. Now we know we don't need such a drasha. No such drasha exists. Because min ha'Torah, a lokeach is putter in shumas ha'maisos, not chayv. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back now. We're going to erase that, meaning we don't need that drasha, but we have a pasuk and we need a drasha. So the Gemara says, Ela b'nafshecha l'may asa. So what is the b'nafshecha necessary for? L'ched etanya. So the Gemara says it's coming to teach us the following halacha. K'nafshecha m'nafshecha im chasamta pater, av pawel im chasamta pater. Okay, so it's coming to teach us about chasima. Like I mentioned in the beginning of this morning, now we're talking about muzzling your worker. Okay, muzzling your animal, that's an issur in the Torah. Lo sach tzom shor b'disho. What about if I muzzle my worker? It'd be strange. It's a strange visualization. But what if I muzzle him? So, the Gemara says that's what we learn out from Kinaf Shecha. Just like if you, I know it's a strange way to put the halacha, but just like if you muzzle yourself, you'll be exempt. So too, if you muzzle your worker, you're going to be exempt as well. Okay. So Meza Marzutra Ezu Gornan Lamasros. So the Gemara now is going to challenge the previous halacha, not the halacha we just learned about muzzling, but the halacha of chiyuv trumas ha'maisos. Meaning, let's recap now. In terms of the chiyuv trumas ha'maisos, when min ha'Torah is a chiyuv trumas ha'maisos, when you bring it into your house or when you bring it into your courtyard. Okay, that's either the shita of Rabbi Yanai or the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara notes that we seem to have mishnayos that would run counter to that. So Meitz Marzutra Ezu Goran Lamaisros. When is the Goran? Goran meaning at what point now are we set in the obligation of Trumas HaMaisos? Bikishuim uvediluim. When it comes to cucumbers, gourds. So Mishi Paksu. Rashi explains that is basically where the stem of this vegetable falls off. Right? Rashi Mishi Nital Pikesh Alahem Vuperach Agadal Barosho. Okay, some sort of flower that grows on the top of the gourd. So when it falls off, so that's the point where it's chayv trumas ha'maisos. Where are we right now? Meaning, at what point where is the gourd right now, geographically? Inside the house, outside the house? Ve'amar avasi mishilita pikesh lahem. Okay, so the Gemara just gives us a tradition in terms of what was meant. But geographically, where are we? So myla mishi yipaksu afilu besada. Presumably, it's talking about in the field. And the Mishnah is telling us that even in the field, the moment that the stem falls off, so it's going to be chayv and shumas ha'maisos. That goes against both Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai. So the Gemara says lo mishipak subebay. So the Gemara says no, it falls off in the house. So the Gemara says yahachi mishi yipaksu ad shipaksu mibayle. So the Gemara says yeah, but then the Mishnah is saying it all wrong. Mishi yipaksu should be corrected to ad shipaksu. Why? Because consider what we're really saying is that we're extending the time. Meaning, normally, fruit, produce is going to be chayv trumas ha'maisos only when you bring it into the house. But once, the moment you bring it into the house, that's it, done. Now we're saying that when it comes to the gourds, you need more time. You bring it into the house, and the stems fall off. So really, the way the Mishnah should say is ad shipaksu. So tana ad shipaksu. The Gemara says, okay, so fine. So you need that correction. That's how you're going to understand the Mishnah. So hava mina ad Gemara le pikusayu kamash malan mishi paksu michi atchule pikusayu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? The Mishnah is also telling us that I don't need all the stems to fall off. The moment that some of the stems fall off, meaning A, it's brought into the house, and B, some of the stems fall off, so then it's chayv and shumar samaisos. Meitzav marzucha b'edi Rav Nachman. The Gemara is going to teach us go through another Mishnah, and that is the following: Gornola. When is produce going to be chayv and shumas ma'isos? When you're at the point of gemar malacha. Ve'ezu gemar malachtan malaches hachnasa san. At the point of hachnasa, when you're bringing it in, my love hachnasa san afilu besade. Now, right now, the Gemara is thinking that the word hachnasa means just simply collection, gathering. And if that's true, so then again, that goes against Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan. They say that the chiyuv trumas ma'isos only begins when you bring it into the house or the courtyard. So the Gemara says, "Lo hachnasasan lebayis." No, hachnasas doesn't just simply mean gathering; it means gathering into the house. So zehu gemar malachtan vi bayis emaki kama Rabbi Yanai v'zeisim va'anavim. The Gemara makes another suggestion, which is no, maybe the pshat in the Mishnah is like we said, that hachnasa just simply means when you pile them up out in the field. And as far as the halacha of Rabbi Yana is concerned, that is talking about olives and grapes. Talav b'nei goreninu. They are not taken into the granary, they're taken directly into the house. Avachit v'sarin goren behejik sibbe. But when it comes to wheat and barley and anything that is like that, where you stockpile them and then you bring them into the house, so the stockpiling is considered the gemar malacha. Okay, period. Okay, so we have so far today introduced ourselves to the various halachas that are learned from Kerem. We seven halachas altogether. Over the course of this morning, we had just one of the halachas. We have learned the machlokas between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan vis-a-vis when is produce going to be chayv and shumas and maestros, either when you bring it to the house or when you bring it into your front courtyard. A couple of Mishnayos that seem to run counter to their positions, and the Gemara's defense of both Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, let us finish off the daf. Ashkechan Adam b'mechubar v'shur b'talish. Here's what we know. When you are a person working in somebody's field, so you can eat produce that's connected to the ground, right? Like the Torah described in the two psukim that we're focusing on. When you're an animal, so the Torah allows you to eat the grains that you're threshing. But that means that if you're threshing, they've already been detached from the field. So I now know that Adam b'mechubar, that a person can eat produce that was connected to the ground. As he's picking it off the tree, he can eat it. And I know that an animal can eat grain that is detached from the ground because he's threshing. Adam b'talosh minalan. How do I know that a person, Alex, this is the question you asked earlier, how do I know that a person can eat grain that's already been detached? Meaning, so now he's in the field, and the grain is already detached, we're before the point of Trumas Maestros, because once we're there, then he can't eat it. But how do I know that once it's detached, he can still eat the produce in the field? So Kal v'chomer, so the Gemara says, well, let's make the following argument. Mishur. In fact, the argument will go from shur, and that is mashur she'ino ochel b'mechubar ochel b'talush adam she'ochel b'mechubar eino din she'ochel b'talush. So the Gemara says, okay, look at the argument. Seems to be a very compelling argument. If an animal can eat detached grain, so you don't think a person can? And the Gemara says, well, malashur she'ino tametzuvach chasimaso tomer b'adam she'ino tametzuvach chasimaso. So the Gemara says, well, the comparison's a little bit unfair, and the logic is a little bit flawed. Because, you know, by the animal, the Torah says, don't muzzle your animal. There's no such prohibition by a person, as we discussed earlier. There's no prohibition not to muzzle the person.
The animal also eats from the ash. I mean,
okay, well, we'll have to come. That's the point that we're going to come back to a little bit later. So the Gemara says, V'yeh adam etzuvach chesimasom mekavachom emishor. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay, so you know what? While we're here, so let's arrive at that conclusion. Meaning, let's use this logic now to actually arrive at the conclusion you can't muzzle a person. Mashur she'yeh adam etzuvach chesimasom. Look, when it comes to an animal, there's no mitzvah to support him. Meaning, there's no idea of poverty when it comes to animal, and there's no idea that, oh, poor animal, I have to to, you know, I have to make a collection for the animal. But there's still true, but you don't have to. There's no gabbai that collects for the animals. There's no such idea. When it comes to people, however, we know there's the idea of aniyim, and if there's an ani, so we have an obligation to support the ani. So the Gemara says so now. So what we seem to have now is a very good kal v'chomer that tells us that just like I'm not allowed a Muslim animal, and there's no idea of supporting the poor animal, so when it comes to a person, so let's logically deduct that there's an iser in the Torah that you're not allowed to muzzle a person when he's working the field. So the Gemara says, so now that's a great havamina. And to that the Gemara says, okay, but now we're going to go back to the limud that we learned earlier today. Amrakah kenaf shecha kenaf shosha powal manosho im chasamto pater apowal im chasamto pater. So that's the drasha that we learned, that there is no such iser in the Torah that you're not allowed to muzzle the worker. So oddly enough, it's an oddity, you can muzzle the worker. So once we're here, so then the previous kal v'chomer also is not going to work out. I mean, the previous kal v'chomer was, well, if the animal can eat talish, so the person can eat talish as well. The Gemara says, yeah, but you're not allowed to muzzle your animal. And as we've just concluded, you are allowed to muzzle your worker. So ve'ela adam b'talish minalan. So back to square one. How do I know that a person, a worker, can eat detached produce? So Amakra kamakama based ba'amino inyan la adam mechubar teneo inyan la adam betalish. So the Gemara says, okay, so it says the word talish twice. I'm sorry, it says the word kama twice. So once to tell me that a person can eat mechubar, and a second time to tell me that a person can eat betalish. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Amar Amar adam betalish lo tzarich kara. The Gemara says, no, I don't need a pasuk, I don't need a drasha for that. Ksiv, the Torah says, kisavah bekamreacha. And let's just look at the context of the Torah. The Torah says you're walking into the vineyard of your friend. So, contextually, what are we talking about? Shischar lekatef. Aren't you being hired to transport the grapes from one place to another? The grapes are already detached, and you're transporting them. And while you're transporting them, go ahead, pick a couple, eat a couple. But the idea is that it's betalush, it's detached from the ground. The Torah says that you're allowed to eat it. Okay, so various suggestions that we now know that a person can eat not only mechubar, but a person can eat talish. Either you learn it through a kal v'chomer, although the Gemara didn't love the kal v'chomer, or you learn it out from a drasha of kama kama multiple times, or you'll just simply look at the context of the Torah. Fine. Those are your three options in terms of how we know a worker can eat not only connected fruit, but also detached fruit as well. Shur b'mechubar minale. Okay, next. The animal's in the field, and the allowance of an animal to eat connected produce. Okay, now we know the animal's allowed to eat detached. That's from the pasuk of Lo Sachsam Shor B'Disho. While threshing, the animal's allowed to eat, but that's detached. How do I know the animal's allowed to eat connected? So Shor B'Mechuber Menale, Kavachomer Me'adam. So the Gemara says, well, let's learn it through a Kavachomer. Ma Adam Shein Ocha B'Talosh, Ocha B'Mechubar. So a person cannot eat talish, but can eat mechubar. Sure, shalcha betalish, and adin shalcha mechubar. So, a animal that's allowed to eat talish, so for sure is allowed to eat mechubar as well. So, mala adam shekain atam etzuv alachios. The Gemara says again, that kal v'chomer is not compelling because, as we already established, by people we have an obligation to support people. We don't have such an obligation for animals. So, tamar b'shur shiatam etzuv alachios. So, the Gemara says v'yehi shur etzuv alachios mekal v'chomer. So, the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? Why don't we arrive at the conclusion that we should make a collection to support the animals? So the Gemara says, and the kal v'chomer. Ma adam shiyata mitzuva achasim aso, atam mitzuva lachioso. Look, by a person, so by a worker, there's no prohibition to muzzle. You can muzzle your worker. And yet, we have to support everyone, including our workers. So maybe when the Torah says that you're not allowed to muzzle your animal, so kal v'chomer, you're supposed to support the animals. So sure, she'ata mitzuva achasimaso, ain't a din she'ata mitzuva lachioso, amakra v'cha achicha imach, achicha v'lo shur. So the Gemara says, okay, for that we have a drasha. And the drasha tells us that no, that you have an obligation that you have to support your brother. And that is to the exclusion of shur. Meaning, you're right, the kal v'chomer may be a good kal v'chomer, but the Torah is memai. The Torah tells us that you don't have to. So ve'ela shor b'mechumra menalan. So the Gemara says, okay, so how do I know that I need to, I'm allowed to let an animal while working not only eat at the talush We know that from Losach Shon Shor B'Disho, but also Zalati Mechuber as well. So the Gemara says, so the multiple reacha, now reacha normally of course applies to people, human beings, but the multiple reacha is coming to tell me one for the person and one for the animal. The person can eat b'mechubar and the animal can eat b'mechubar as well. That is one approach. We'll start tomorrow with Ravina. Ravina will give us a second approach in terms of how we know that. Okay, quick recap for today. Today we finished the drushas in the Torah in terms of what produce can a worker eat. The answer is any and all produce. If it's any and all produce, and we learn that from the combination of chermesh and kama, so if it's any and all produce, what is the Torah driving at by giving us the example of kerem? Seven halachas that we learned in the beginning of this morning in terms of what we learn out from the word kerem. Quickly, all seven. We have time. Quickly, all seven halachas. Number one, the Torah is talking about a poel. Number two, the prohibition of a doggy bag is only for kerem reyecha, not for kerem kusi. Number three, and then there's a 2b about kerem hekdesh. Number three, the achalta, you can't suck out the fruit; you have to eat the entire fruit. Number four, grapes, and you can't put condiments on the grape; you can't salt the grape. Rashi says that's because you're going to eat more of it. Number five, you are like a balabais. But we now know at the end of today's daf, the halacha that we learn from there is that there is no isser of muzzling your worker. You are permitted, not certainly not encouraged, but there's no isser, I'll just say it like that. There's no isser to muzzle your worker. Number six, you can't eat achila gasa. You can only eat to the point of satiation, but not achila gasa. And number seven is that this is only while you are picking the fruit off the tree. But in other words, if you're in an earlier stage of working the field, you can't take the fruit. Then we went through a machlokes between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. At what point is produce chayv v'chumas maestros? Either when you bring it to the house or when you bring it to a courtyard. We seem to have a number of mishnayos in the mishnayos in maestros that tells us that it comes even at an earlier stage. The Gemara says that we'll either explain those mishnayos differently, or maybe the Gemara suggests we'll make a distinction between olives and grapes versus versus wheat and barley. Olives and grapes go straight into the house. Wheat and barley get stockpiled in the field, and maybe we can make such a distinction. And then finally, we finish off the daf today talking about the allowance of the worker to eat not only produce that was connected to the ground, but also produce that was already detached as well. And then we did the animal and the same point as well, that the animal can eat not only detached, but also that which was connected to the ground as well. Adkan, tomorrow we'll pick it up with Ravina on the bottom of the omelet.